So we have six supervisors in the main church. I don't have six. I only have three. So today, this morning, I would like to help us to understand there are three pictures of Jesus. And of course, when we talk about pictures, when we talk about comparing stuff, you know, we have two different groups of people. The first group of people, usually we say, oh, comparing different faith is like comparing an apple to an orange. There's no need for us to compare it, because ultimately our faith and other faith in the world, they are completely different. But there are certain groups that say, no, I think we can compare, because ultimately all roads leads to Rome. Christianity, your faith, your Jesus, you know, whether it's the Buddha or the Hinduism gods, all of them teach us the same thing, which is to do good, and there's no differences between this faith. But it is possible to compare an apple to an orange, and I believe it is important for us to understand fully what we got ourselves into. When we say that we want to be baptized, what does it mean to our lives from this point onwards? So easily, an apple, it is round shape, like the, it's like basic. It comes in various colors. It can be red, green, yellow, and there are some bicolored apples. If you love apples, you know what I'm talking about. It can be eaten fresh. It can be cooked to be a pie and all this. And on the left-hand side, we have an orange. It is round. It is orange color. It is a citrus fruit. It has many small oil glands, so that when you peel off the skin, oh, there's a fragrant essential oil smell coming out. So these are some of the differences between an apple and an orange. But it is possible to compare an apple to an orange, even though some may think that it is pointless. Brothers and sisters, it is important for us to know exactly what we believe in. When we talk about our faith, does it only stops at doing good? When we talk about our faith, does it stops at coming to church every Sunday for the 1 hour and 50 minutes? When we talk about our church life, does it stop at me and God alone? What about other believers? And if you think that Christianity is just like any other religion, maybe some of us here, I would like to appeal that you would reconsider your option this morning. Because I will be presenting three pictures of Jesus Christ through 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. Christianity, your faith, my faith, is not the same as any other religion. So when we talk about pictures, we have sang a few songs this morning. Waymaker is not one of them, but it gives us some picture. All right. So when we sing of song, pictures comes to mind. Okay, so part of the Waymaker lyrics has, you know, he's the Waymaker, he's the miracle worker, he's the promise keeper, and he is the light in the darkness. So all this has painted a picture when we talk about who Jesus is, who God is in our life. And of course, today we sang of Man of Sorrows, he is the Lamb of God, bearing the sin of man and the wrath of God, he is sent from heaven, he is God's own Son. So when we look at pictures, especially in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the Scripture, we see pictures defining or describing who Jesus is. Now, 1 Peter. If you have your Bible with you, I would like to encourage you to open up to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. Let me read to you. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they heard their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wound you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This was written by Peter. And if you remember, Peter is the one who denied Jesus three times. He was the one who accompanied Jesus throughout the 3.5 years of service, ministry on earth. At the last point of his life, you know, before Jesus was crucified, he denied Jesus 3 times. And now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he explained the 3 pictures of Jesus. So let's turn to the first picture. Christ is our example in his life. So we see that in verses 21, 22, 23. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So a sad thing to say, you know, Easter Sunday, we have to suffer. I wanted to remind you once again that Christ suffered for you and me on the cross on Good Friday. And we are to follow in his steps, especially we have the 4 different gospel books. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John describing the life of Jesus here on earth. So when we look at our faith, we not only look at the death and the resurrection, we should look at the life of Jesus. And God has called us to follow Christ's example. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. So when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So while he was sinless, both in word, both in deed, Christ suffered at the hands of the authorities. Now, there are, you know, false teaching or misconceptions that says that, you know, if you believe in God, in Jesus Christ, no suffering will ever come to you. We have certain groups of people teaching that. It is shallow to think that, you know, Christian will never, will not, will ever suffer in the will of God. It is shallow, popular theology. It is not true. Look at Christians. Look at our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of us, we are suffering from our sickness. It could be cancer, it could be loss of friends, loss of family members. We go through suffering. But the difference is that God is there with us. We do not have to go through it alone. So likewise, Jesus has been the greatest example. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, he was in agony. He entrusted his life to God nevertheless. Even though he knows what he's going through, ultimately, to be separated from God through that period of time. When he was kneeled on the cross, he prayed while he is in agony. He submitted obediently to God's will. And this is something that we can imitate. It is something that we can follow in the life of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we purposely suffer. That's not wise. For example, if you don't study in your, you know, in your work, you're not preparing well for your work or your studies, you will have to pay for the consequences later. It is not honoring God by putting God first, but neglecting the rest of your life. And vice versa. So I hope that we are the third group that choose to do what is right, even though suffering may come. The first group says that if you believe in God, no suffering ever. The second group says that, you know, we must suffer for the sake of God, but we have suffering foolishly. But I hope that today, every one of us here will make a choice to choose to do what is right and choose to bear the consequences of our suffering because we do what is right. Now, when we make choices that are pleasing and glorifying God, suffering may come. Suffering may come. But once again, choose to do what is right, even though suffering may come as a result. Now, if we look at different faiths of the world, some of them also enforce that we must suffer. So we have Thaipusam, you know, they have to carry the kavadi, they have to walk up the stairs, they have to, you know, offer coconut meal, all this stuff that they need to do so that God will answer their prayers. So what is so different from our faith? So Jesus taught us to follow his example. you know, the other faith also taught their believers to follow their, you know, leader's example. So what exactly, what else is different? Now, brothers and sisters, we are not saved by following Christ's example. Let me repeat myself. We are not saved by following Christ's example. We are not saved by doing good. We are not saved by doing all the examples that is written in the Bible. We are saved by Christ alone. As we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone, that faith saves us. And after that faith saves us, we live out a life that we follow according to the scripture. So Jesus Christ is more than just an example for us to follow. And we have a problem. We have a sin problem. We have a sin problem that only God Himself can solve. We have a sin problem that God has already solved for us through the death and resurrection of Christ. So the second picture, let me give it to you. Christ is our substitute in His death. Not only that Jesus Christ has lived 3.5 years on earth, ultimately the climax of it all is the death. Do you agree? The climax of it all is the death of Christ. How many of us think that the climax is actually the resurrection? Okay? No worries. How many of us think that the climax of our faith is the death of Jesus Christ? Okay, so how many of us think that the climax of our faith is the life of Jesus itself, 3.5 years on earth? Okay, so most of us have chosen not to make a stand. All right, no worries. So Jesus Christ is our substitute in His death. To me, that is the climax, because He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by His wounds, you have been healed. We see a paradox here. We were supposed to suffer for our sin, but Christ Himself bore it for us. We were supposed to die to our sins, but because of Jesus' death on the cross, we have the righteousness of God. We were supposed to be wounded, to go through all this suffering. But because of what Christ has gone through on the cross, we have been healed. Christ died as a sinner substitute. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 once again reminds us that God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for you and me, us, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. So when Jesus died on the cross, God's grace is poured out to you and me. We are equal in the sight of God. We are now clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And when God looks at us, He is looking at the righteousness of Christ. And for those of us who are here on Good Friday, let me just briefly go through this part. It just so happened that this also is part of the sermon this morning. So in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43, this is a story where Jesus was crucified. There are two other people beside Him. So one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then this criminal, he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." One of the criminals mocked Jesus. The other criminal chose to believe in Jesus, the King of the Jews. And he actually proclaimed it in verse 42. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Putting faith in Christ alone. And Jesus answered that, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So once again, a reminder for those going through baptism. Baptism is a sign that you commit your life to Jesus and you are declaring it publicly to the people. It is not a means of saving. You do not need to go through baptism to be saved, in a way. Right? So this guy here, he was on the cross. There is no way for him to be baptized. He did not speak in tongues. He did not show any manifestation of the Holy Spirit here. It is faith in Christ alone that saved this criminal. So once again, to make things really clear, salvation is by grace alone. It is a free gift from God through faith alone in Christ Jesus alone. The death of Jesus Christ. Now the third picture. Christ is our watchful shepherd in heaven. Verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. And I will not also replicate what Pastor Joseph had been sharing. You know, he has been sharing one of the sermons, the difference between the sheep and the goat, Matthew chapter 25. We are like sheep. And we like to go astray. So if you have studied a bit about the behavior of a sheep, I have a little video for you to see, and you will be like, let the video speak for itself. So there was a sheep. He was stuck. And then the little boy tried to save the sheep. He tried. Very hard. His best. And voila, the sheep is out. And yeah. We shake our head, right? We do face palm, right? Why? But the Bible describes you and me as sheep. We are stuck somewhere. Could be because of disobedience, because we don't follow God's word. We are stuck. God save us. And on we go happily. And before we know it, in the next moment, we chose to disobey God again. And we are stuck again. So sheep is actually a very good picture. And Jesus Christ is the watchful shepherd in heaven. So whenever we are stuck, call out to him. Because the Savior in glory watches over his sheep to protect them and to perfect them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the unsaved world is watching us. This is a fellowship of the believers. We have to remember that we are out in the world from Monday to Saturday, even Sunday as well. So the unsaved world is watching you and me. They are watching our faith. How do we live out our faith? When we proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, do we live out a victorious life, knowing that the shepherd is heaven, is watching over us? Do we still have fear in our life? Do we still have things that we do not understand about God? How are we approaching God and his salvation today? Three pictures of Jesus Christ together. The example of his life, the substitute in his death, and our watchful shepherd in heaven together. These three pictures mark the complete life and faith that we have. We should not be focusing one over the other. We should remember that Jesus came to be an example, to suffer on the cross as our substitute, and claim victorious after his resurrection. And today, right now, in the future, he is our watchful shepherd in heaven. So the next question, or the last question that I would like to leave with you, is that, what's next? You know this guy, right? He's the number one, he has the most follower in TikTok in the world. And he's part of the Guinness Book record. So what's next? What's next? Are we complicating things in our life? We have the Bible, we have the life of Jesus, the death and the resurrection, and ultimately we have his promise that he is coming back one day. So are we still turning around in our life looking for answers where the answers is already found? As I invite the worship team over to come to the front, I would like to take this opportunity, being an Easter Sunday, for us to make certain decisions. I'm speaking especially to the believers this morning. So let us just bow our heads, let us just close our eyes, let us prepare our hearts, and let us reflect upon our lives so far. Since the beginning, when we have heard the good news, since we have heard again and again the death and the resurrection of Christ, what is next? Are we merely a bench warmer on Sunday? Are we participating in the fellowship of the believers on Sunday and outside of Sunday? Do we have a community lifestyle here at KLBC Desa Park City? Where are we now? For the first reflection, I would like to address to anyone of us here, whether you belong to the church, whether you are a visitor this morning, but as long as you are Christian, think about this. Are you willing to take a step of faith? And if you have been lacking in the past, let today be an opportunity for us to stand up and to say that, God, I want to be involved in our relationship with you, in our relationship with one another, to serve you and to serve the church. If you are this group of people, and I've known for some of us here, they have been faithful serving for the past 50 years. Maybe not this church alone, but we have testimony of God's goodness in this life. So any one of us here, if you want to stand before God this morning, and to say that, God, I want to serve you starting today, I would like you to stand where you are, and I would like to pray for you. For those who are actively serving, for those who have been faithfully serving, you may stand where you are as well. Let today, this morning, be another opportunity where we can stand and say that, God, I will follow you for the rest of my life. Yes. Just stand where you are. Keep your eyes closed. This is between you and God. I'm simply a mediator. I'm simply a messenger. So if you have been serving faithfully all this time, you want to continue to do so, you may stand at where you are as well. Father, you see the hearts of the people. You also see their decision made right now, that they are willing to stand up for you. I believe, Lord, that they will stand up for you to the last breath of their life here on earth. So, Lord, we pray for these brothers and sisters who are standing up here right now, that they commit to put their faith in you again and again. And they want to make a decision once again to submit to your Lordship and to serve you and to serve the church. So, Lord, we ask that you continue to be with them. Protect them, provide for them, bless them. Give them strength and wisdom as they continue to serve you in the respective areas that you have been blessing them. We pray that, Lord, for those who are still thinking about it, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will teach them, will explore, help them to explore what are some of the areas that they can be of service to you. And we want to pray for their faithfulness. We want to give thanks for their faithfulness. And for the many to come, Lord, we give thanks to you. And we pray that together, when we meet up in heaven, we will be experienced the joy that you have been giving us here on earth. And we want to thank you for the opportunity to stand up for you in this world that is slippery, that is crooked, that is imperfect. But Lord, we want to give thanks for these brothers and sisters who are willing to stand up for you. Pray that, Lord, you will grant them strength. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now, the second group of that I want to address this morning. Maybe some of us here, God has called us to bring of his message beyond the boundaries of this church, beyond the boundary of Kepong, beyond the boundary of Klang Valley. I'm not sure whether there are any here, but if you are the one that God has been calling you, that God has been commissioning you in a way, has been knocking at your door, asking you to represent him in elsewhere, I would like to pray for you as well. May you stand where you are. If there's anyone that God has called you to bring of his good news outside of Klang Valley, is there anyone here? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that you have called certain people, certain brothers and sisters to serve you in this capacity. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to help our brother David here. And even though he is 81 years old this year, Lord, we thank you for his faithfulness once again. But Lord, we want to ask that you continue to strengthen him, to bring off the gospel beyond the comfort zone, beyond this place. And Lord, we do not know what you have in store for him. But Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide him. And with the scripture, Lord, you affirm his calling. And we pray that, Lord, you will continue to have mighty things done through the hands of our brother David here. And we pray that, Lord, he will continue to be a good testimony in his living area and beyond. And we pray for him for good health, for the strength to carry on your ministry here on earth. We thank you for his life. We thank you for the couple. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen. Amen. Let us pray, and I invite all the ushers to come forward. Father, we want to thank you once again for some of the decisions that we are willing to make in front of you. And Lord, we want to give thanks to you because you reminded us again and again the death and the resurrection of Christ, the three different pictures that fulfill, basically giving us the life that we are supposed to live here on earth. So Lord, we have the affirmation, we have the hope in you that you are watching from heaven. And because of that, Lord, we have no fear. And Lord, even though we may be fearful, we ask that, Lord, you yourself comfort us, you yourself strengthen us, you yourself catch us when we fall. And Lord, we pray as we spend the time to reflect, prepare our hearts as we give back a portion of yours in obedience, in our tithes and in our offering. And Lord, we pray that, you know, we'll be a cheerful giver and that you will use this money for the expansion of your kingdom to your glory. So Lord, prepare our hearts and we ask that, Lord, you will continue to multiply whatever that we have offered up as a sacrifice to you this morning. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.